Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center and a member of the Swine Innovation Pork Coordinated African Swine Fever Research Working Group. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Sundberg.
It's good to be with you, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
The Swine Health Information Center's November Global Swine Disease Monitoring Report references several incidents where illegal pork products have been seized. First of all, what is the latest in terms of the spread of African swine fever?
Well, African swine fever continues to be alive and well around the world. It is especially showing up now in new areas in the Philippines. That in Southeast Asia, of course, is a hot spot for ASF, and the Philippines certainly are in the crosshairs in that area of the world right now. We did have some good news in that there was a case of commercial die-off of pig mortality events in Ecuador. And the testing that went on in Ecuador, that mortality event was similar to other places around the world that have had ASF, but the testing in Ecuador has been negative. And so that's a good thing. There are a lot of things that African swine fever can look like. It can look like a hot PRRS. It can look like a systemic salmonella. So there are a number of things that producers can see on their farm quite a bit that could be mistaken for African swine fever, or the other way around. They may have ASF and they assume that they have a hot PRRS. In Ecuador, that didn't pan out. That's the good news, that that was probably a PRRS event or something else, but certainly it's not a classical swine fever nor an African swine fever event in the Western Hemisphere.
In areas where the infection is present, what are we seeing in terms of progress aimed at control or eradication?
It's always a difficult thing in the control and eradication of ASF, especially if the virus gets into feral pigs, in the feral pig population. There really is only one way to eradicate the disease in feral pig population, and that means eradicating the pigs. And that's a very difficult thing to do. It's been successful in some areas of Europe, and so there have been examples of that happening. But it's difficult in spots that have feral pigs. On commercial units, it's not nearly as difficult. There is a lot of depopulation that's going on in Romania, for example. Romania has hot outbreaks. They handle those outbreaks in a similar fashion to what the U.S. does, or U.S. would, if we'd have ASF, in depopulating those commercial herds as quickly as possible. In Vietnam, for example, they've taken a different viewpoint, and they are encouraging their producers to try to control ASF by quickly marketing susceptible pigs as soon as they can before they get ASF. So in that way, they can help contain the spread by decreasing the number of susceptible animals in the herd. So there's a variety of different ways that different countries have tried to do this. And I think the important thing here is that we're all trying to learn lessons of what happens if, and how to address it should it come to our area. And certainly that's the case for North America, looking at the variety of different techniques and ways that it's being tried to be controlled around the world.
What have we been seeing in terms of the illegal movement of pork products, and what concerns do those movements raise?
You know, Bruce, one of the lessons that we need to learn from ASF continuing to spread around the world is that it moves very well down the highway at 60 miles an hour in contaminated pork products. There have been cases that in Germany, for example, that has jumped the whole country of Germany from the east side to the finding a single case in a commercial pig operation on the west end of Germany. There are feral pig and commercial infections in the east side of Germany that have been zoned and controlled, but all of a sudden there pops up another infection on the west end of Germany and another one north west up by the Netherlands. And there certainly is the conventional wisdom, I think would be the way to put it, because there's no real smoking gun, but the conventional wisdom is that had to be moved by people. And the most efficient way of moving ASF is by contaminated pork products. While African swine fever is not an issue for humans, it's not a human health issue at all, and the pork that may be marketed is safe to eat, it is not safe for pigs to eat. And that's probably the most efficient way that ASF can move. It's through those types of products.
What incidents have we seen recently, and what is the significance of the numbers we're seeing at this point?
Sure. There continues to be testing of illegal importation of some pork products, seized pork products, in some countries around the world. Taiwan is probably a very good example of that. When they seize a pork product, they test it for ASF and let people know what's happening. They want people to know if that pork product is contaminated with the virus. Thailand is another one, and even in the United Kingdom. In the United Kingdom, over a single weekend of inspections, they were able to confiscate 2.5 tons of illegal pork products from ASF-affected countries. Now, they didn't test all of those products, but those are the kind of types of movements that are going on. In the U.S., we have those types of movements that try to come into the U.S. as well. I'm sure Canada does also. And our regulatory agencies for the U.S., the Customs and Border Protection, and USDA do a great job of trying to interdict those illegal imports. The probability is they don't get them all, but they do a great job of interdiction and trying to grab everything that they can. That decreases our risk, but it doesn't bring our risk from those products to zero. One of the policies of the US is to destroy those products that are seized as soon as they are seized. We in the U.S. don't go through testing like they do in Taiwan or maybe in Thailand or some other countries around the world. We don't test those products. We make the assumption that they are positive. There's no reason to test them because we make the assumption that they're going to be positive for ASF, for FMD, for a number of different foreign animal diseases to the U.S., and therefore they are destroyed as quickly as possible, immediately after they're seized.
Given these imports of illegal pork products, what do pork producers in North America need to be focusing on?
They need to be focusing on their farm biosecurity and their contacts with international sources. That doesn't necessarily mean an international visitor coming to walk on their farm. For example, they may have workers that bring lunch onto the farm. And if you bring lunch onto the farm and bring pork products onto the farm, you have an opportunity for that lunch to come from some illegal meat import in some place. And the worker very well may not even know that. It may be just a sandwich that they were able to access from a cousin or an uncle in a spot that they went to a market that has these types of products that are for sale. So one of the biggest issues is for the producers to look at international contacts with their workers. An easy example of upping biosecurity and preventing the entry of African swine fever is to not allow any pork products coming onto the farm in any lunches. There are producers that provide lunches for their workers. That's one way to control that. Another way is to simply have a policy that if you bring a lunch, it can't be pork in any manner. And I think that's probably one of the biggest lessons we can learn from the spread of ASF via the illegal importation or illegal movement of African swine fever contaminated products in countries and around the world.
And is there anything you would like to add?
The Swine Disease Global Surveillance Report, Bruce, comes out every month in our newsletter. It comes out the first week of the month in our newsletter. It's available on the swinehealth.org website if people want to go on and access that. It talks not only about African swine fever, but about FMD, about foot and mouth disease, about classical swine fever. There are some PERS entries and some other issues that we report on in the global surveillance report. If people are interested and want that report delivered to them automatically the first part of the month every month, they can also go on the swinehealth.org website and simply sign up for our newsletter. It will come into their inbox the first week of the month. It includes both the Swine Global Disease Surveillance Report as well as the Domestic Disease Surveillance Report, and that can give people an update every month.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the opportunity, Bruce. It's great to talk with you and make sure that people are aware of these types of resources out there.
Our guest has been Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center and a member of the Swine Innovation Pork Coordinated African Swine Fever Research Working Group. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.